The Cooper and Anthony Show.
Our guest tonight is a Grammy-winning musician, which I didn't realize. I guess I figured you probably have won Grammys, and now, of course, you won Grammys, like when I really think about it. And you probably know him as the bass player from the alt-rock band They Might Be Giants. He's also a founding member of the Red Pants Band, which has a brand new album out called Dinosaurs and Metaphors. Plus, there are videos. There's a tour. They Might Be Giants is getting back into the studio. We have a lot to discuss. That's just the point. So please welcome Danny Weinkauf to the program. Hey, Danny.
Hey, how you doing, Coops?
Good. Have you met Anthony before? Have you been on this show before?
I have not been on this show, and I don't think that I have met Anthony, no.
No.
So, I know you guys have been working together for a long time, but I don't think we've actually met.
Too long.
Yeah.
A little too long. Yeah. Sadly, this is my longest relationship right here.
Mm. All right. Well, you know, maybe that's, I don't know what to say about that. Congratulations, Anthony, on hanging.
That's not the right. Congratulations would not be the right thing to
word,
say.
No.
My condolences.
I'm sorry.
Probably.
I'm sorry, Anthony.
There you go. But I'm just warning you ahead of time that Anthony also played bass. You're like a real bass player, and he's one of these people who, like, you know, fancies himself a bass player. So I'm just giving you a heads up ahead of time.
Okay.
I played bass at one time. I still have bass. I haven't sold anything. I don't have the arsenal that he has behind him. I mean.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's a real musician. You're just a guy on the radio.
The lighting is probably terrible, and I apologize. You would think through all the time that we've been involved with this pandemic and Zoom that I would have a better setup, but. This is the best I've got.
Well, actually, we would assume because you're a musician who records music that you would have a better setup.
Right. Well, my music recording stuff is fine. It's the video stuff.
Oh, I see. Okay. Okay. Well, we could see you and hear you, and that's all that matters.
Okay. Excellent.
Let's talk about the Red Pants Band. So,
let me clarify. When I release the music, aside from They Might Be Giants, I do children's music for family and kids, which actually started by working with They Might Be Giants, because at one point They Might Be Giants started making children's music and actually was signed to Disney Records. And we did music for a number of their television shows, like Mickey's Playhouse and the Hot Dog theme song and Higglytown Heroes, which was a series for Disney, et cetera. So I was working on children's music as a member of They Might Be Giants, and then sort of branched out on my own. But I released that music under my own name, which is Danny Weinkauf. The Red Pants Band is the band that I put together when I play live shows with my children's music. We all wear red pants, and we do it that way. So, yeah. So if somebody looks for Red Pants Band on YouTube or Spotify or something, it's not there. It's under my name.
Oh, good to know. Okay, now I understand, because I thought it was music you were doing with the Red Pants Band, but you're doing your own music, and then
I write all the songs.
Got it.
With the exception of usually one song on an album. There's a really excellent singer, bass player, keyboardist that works with us named Tina Kenny Jones. She'll write one of the songs and sing it and that sort of thing. And she sings probably half the songs. She's got like a phenomenal voice, and I've got a very okay voice. And that's being flattering to me. So when I write songs, melodies that I can't sing, I give them to her and she can just belt them out, and she's phenomenal. So she's a total asset to the band, and for me as a songwriter, just as a way for me to, I can write songs that I would never be able to execute as a singer. So it's a great thing. Yeah.
See, Anthony, that's called appreciation. She's a total asset. So remember those words right there. Danny just said it about
and
the woman he works
ass.
With.
You're a total ass hat. So yeah, she's an asset. You're an ass hat.
Close enough. I guess I'll take it. So let's talk about the Dinosaurs and Metaphors. And because this just came out.
Well, the Dinosaurs and Metaphors. Okay. Dinosaurs and Metaphors came out at the beginning of the pandemic in April, sort of not quite the beginning, just after I personally and my wife and daughter got COVID, which was in March of, I guess, 2019 when it all started.
Oh, no.
I think you're frozen. That may be me.
Yeah, we got
you
back.
Can you still hear me?
We got you back.
Mm-hmm, you're
okay,
good.
Great. Okay. Okay. So yeah, that album came out in April of, what year are we in now? 2020.
So what's the new album then? What's the name of the new one?
The new album is called Words. It came out August 20th of this year, of 2021.
I'm sorry. I thought Words was the single.
Words is a single, yes. It's confusing. Words is a single, but it is a single from the next record, which is called Words. Album came out just a couple of weeks ago, August 20th. And the entire album is word themed. It's the first time I'm doing a themed record. So there's hyperbole song, there's alliteration song, there's silent letters and nouns and et cetera. You get the idea.
Mm.
So, I'm also a licensed physical therapist. So I was on tour with They Might Be Giants for about a week, which was supposed to be the start of about a year long tour.
Mm-hmm.
And when COVID hit, and we got sent home and then told to wait a few days and then told to wait a couple of weeks. And it ultimately everything was canceled, obviously. And so I was out of work and I got a call from a friend of mine, a woman who has 5 children who needed to homeschool them all of a sudden.
Wow.
And she was a practicing physical therapist in a school district near my home. And so she called me up and asked me if I could cover for her for an entire year while she took a sabbatical.
Wow.
So this past year, I've been a pediatric physical therapist in a school system.
That must be so weird for the parents who know you as a musician.
It's weird. It's a little weird for me, but it actually is a really nice balance. Whereas, being a musician can be very self-directed. I feel incredibly selfish, especially when I'm on tour and my family's at home. I have 2 children, my wife and my kids. And so there are times where I feel a little bit guilty actually about being away from home for long stretches, that sort of thing. And being a physical therapist is completely the opposite. It's not about me at all. Every session is about the child that I'm working with and trying to help improve their function and everything. And it really, it's a very grounding sort of balance to be doing both. Cause I still was recording during the pandemic. I recorded this last record, this Words record, and I was still working with They Might Be Giants and that, mostly virtually, but I still was a musician, but there was quite a balance.
Right.
So anyway,
I appreciate what you do as a physical therapist, because my dog is a therapy animal and he and I before COVID, obviously we're visiting at hospital for joint disease, and we worked specifically with kids on the children's ward. And what I thought was really interesting, I work with a lot of the physical therapists, and they would have us come in and the dog would actually work with the kids, especially the ones that were afraid to use some of the big equipment. And I don't know what they had at your place,
it's terrific. They didn't have anything in my place. I worked in the hallway.
Oh my God, that's crazy.
Because it was COVID, all of the classrooms, the gymnasiums were turned into classrooms. Everything had to be spaced apart and glass walls put up around the desks, et cetera, all the dividers. Every inch of space was taken up. So I actually was relegated to the hallway. And whatever I did use with the children had to be cleaned every session.
Right, of course.
So I tried to keep it to a minimal amount of equipment. But the dog thing sounds amazing. I mean,
yeah. Yeah, no, they were really people in that industry, your industry and that part of your industry are incredibly creative when it comes to ways to do physical therapy, especially with children. And they use the dog quite a bit, whether it was, kids that had brain damage of some kind or an accident or whatever that were relearning words. They would give 3 or 4 words to the dog. They would say, sit down and then stand up.
Oh,
and the kid
God.
Would have to remember, what's the first command you gave the dog? I told him sit. Great. Tell him sit again. Sit. And he would sit. Okay. What's the second command? And they would have to sit and think. And you would see them trying to remember what was the second command. So they were actually using.
Yeah. That's
yeah. It was pretty cool.
It's beyond pretty cool. I mean, if you were the therapist, you'd realize that it's one of the more tricky things about a lot of these students is motivating them, trying to find the things that will motivate. Because some of them, especially the ones on the autism spectrum, it's very difficult to sort of tap into what works for them and what's interesting. So to have the animal there like that and have them react is really that really can facilitate a lot of the actual therapy.
Yeah, I recommend a 100-pound big white Lucky dog.
Oh, he's gained 4 pounds. Huh?
That's right. That's right. He was a 96-pound puppy, but you know, it's COVID, so he put on 4 pounds. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Now, you've been associated with a ton of record labels in your career.
Yes.
And you own one now. Is the record business in 2021 completely over as we know it?
Yeah, well, as we knew it, absolutely. It's a totally different world. It's I'm even more grateful than I ever was in the past to be still in a band that's generating money that allows me to make a living as a musician, because a big part of that used to be album sales.
Mm-hmm.
And that album sales don't exist. People don't really, you know, they do on a very small level. You know, some people still buy some CDs here and there. People are buying vinyl, but, you know, whatever percentage, is probably 95% or something of the music these days that's heard is streamed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you subscribe to the streaming service and you have unlimited access to all the music ever made. And so, you know, in some ways it's brilliant for the listener, but it's a very, very different business, for the musician side. And I don't know how young bands do it. I really,
right.
It's mysterious to me because, you know, within TMBG, for example, we used to tour basically with the goal to sort of just break even on the tour.
Mm.
And we would sell records while we were touring and sell merchandise and then hope that the tour inspired more sales and promoted the album. And now you put out an album and you tour trying to make money touring.
Right.
So it's much more difficult. It's the equation is really skewed much differently than it had been in the past. It's very tough for me, you know, as a, you know, it's an infinitely tiny label that I have my own albums out on. It's just because it's more convenient for me. I can release it whenever I want to, and I have control of it. And I don't have to get an okay from a third party. And I don't have to give them percentages of anything.
Right.
So, I've been around long enough that I know the people at the radio stations that I want to be in contact with. I know the promoters. I know I can contact them directly. I don't really need the level that I'm doing my children's music, I don't really need that much outside help. So that's why I was able to have my own label.
So you actually call radio yourself?
Yeah. I know the programming directors directly, or, you know, I'll just email them. You know, I've been on stations in Sydney, Australia, for example. There's a great children's radio station down there called Kinderling. Dave Stevens is the program director. I'll email him directly, say, hey, Dave, I've got a new record. Here it is. He'll listen and tell me what he thinks about it. And like this, the Words album, for example, I just sent it to him a couple of days ago, and they have a thing they call the high five of the week, which is their like pick of the week, and they feature that album. So in October, it's going to be one of their featured albums and that sort of thing.
Wow. Congratulations. Yeah, so, that's great.
Yeah, no, it's terrific. And I'm grateful to people like him and the fact that I was able to meet him and play at his station because I was on tour with They Might Be Giants in Australia.
Mm.
So, you know, it all works together. And, you know, I try to keep as many plates spinning as I can. Much like you, Coops.
Yeah, no, you're busier than I am. I mean,
No. I was catching up online today before I wanted to talk to you again, because, you know, we've talked and we've been friends for
long time.
Yeah, very long time. But I didn't know you were on your 7th book.
Yep.
That blows my mind. That is really, really. I mean, aside from getting your PhD and all the radio and television and everything else you've done, that's really commendable and
thank admirable. You. That's really kind of you to say. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
I'm jealous. I feel like a slacker. I mean, we went to the same high school. Well, you know,
I know.
I need to get in gear here.
You know what's so weird, though? If you think about it, it was a pretty small high school, and there have been a lot of really successful people, but like big time successful people who have done big time things. I wonder what's up with that. I wonder why there's so much incredible creativity and people that are so... not just people that are working, people that are truly successful, that, you know, I only do that for a living. I don't have a second job. Right. You know, I mean, I know that you enjoy the physical therapy stuff, but really music is your your main gig.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and you and I both know several other of our friends and people we both know that also are working musicians or producers or, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah. What do you make of that? Like, why do you think that so many people came from this tiny, tiny little town?
I have thought about it. I've had people ask me the same question, actually. And it was usually somebody that falls in that category. You know,
Right. You know,
a mutual friend of ours, Suzanne Luna.
Yep.
She's now won like 6 Emmy Awards and numerous other, you know, accolades. And she's a field producer for Ellen DeGeneres and a director and has done numerous, you know, she's worked for lots of people in Hollywood. I think she said the same kind of thing. Like, what, you know, what do you think? I don't know, because, I wonder if like somebody from another town near us, if they have as many too over the years, if it just accumulates, you know, like maybe it seems like more than it is.
No, they're losers everywhere else. It's just us.
They didn't have that drive.
You know,
yeah, they didn't have the drive. There's something about.
You know, I knew Steve Buscemi when I was a kid. He lived in Valley Stream. I'm sure he's not the only guy from Valley Stream.
He's the only guy from Valley Stream. And he wanted to live in Lynbrook, but, you know, his parents wouldn't let him move.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. Maybe there's something in the water here that makes people want to be creative. I don't know. Or, you know, the other part of it is that the creative people could have been the ones that knew each other growing up.
Right.
So we're aware of
each other. Right.
Doing it. Yeah. We're very much aware of each other because those were the people we hung out with back in the day.
And I wonder how much of it's generational, because when I think of, like, I get asked all the time by like young kids just getting out of college, like, how do you do it? And it's like, I can't answer that question because I came up in radio at a time when
you, the answer is perseverance, man. You just kept going. Mm-hmm.
No, but there was opportunity. Those opportunities don't exist anymore, because you get people like Anthony and I who are syndicated, and, you know, we take up a lot of bandwidth that normally would have been space for somebody else or 20 somebody else's, you know, and it's just, it's not the same. It's not how it used to
be. Screw them. That's our attitude. Screw them.
Yeah. But then there's the other side of it is there's this whole other world of people being recognized and finding like really fast wealth within the social media and TikTok world and Instagram world and these influencers and things that's a whole new world.
Right. That's true.
You know, yeah, and some of them are incredibly creative, and hardworking, and, you know, and it's, you know, I'm sort of out of touch with it. I keep people that I talk to are like, oh, you need to get into this and you need to get into that. And I guess I have to, or I'm going to, you know, I'll age myself out. But yeah, there's a whole, I think because of digital technology, there's a whole new thing sprouting up that's very, very, as you know, Anthony was asking before about the record business, lots of businesses are changing in that way. You know, celebrity is changing in that way.
So maybe even more opportunity, not less.
Yeah, well, there may be more. It's just it's completely different.
Different,
though. It may not be for them to get a radio show like you have, but it may be for them to, I don't know, be a makeup expert on.
Right.
I don't even know. I'm just taking a guess.
No, that's a thing. That's a category. Yeah.
So, who knows? Yeah. But that takes creativity too. And, you know, and you have to work at it.